I'm so glad to see all of you this morning. Really am glad to see you. You glad to be here?
Amen.
Good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We need you. And we've gathered here this morning to sing our songs of praise to you, to worship you. But we've also gathered here this morning to hear from you, from your word, from your spirit. And so I would ask and pray, Heavenly Father, that you would guide us in all that I say, may it be your words. I know that we come this morning with many things on our hearts and mind, things that weigh us down, things that concern us, things that hurt. But none of this surprises you. You know that already. And so I pray that we would be able to lay those things at your feet this morning and just worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for everyone here. You know yesterday. You know tomorrow. You know exactly our thoughts, everybody here right now. And I just pray, Lord, that you would minister to folks here in this church and churches everywhere. And minister to those that couldn't make it to church today. I just pray that people would seek you, would know you, would love you more. I do pray for the names on the prayer focus and ask that you would be with each one, especially the Dwight Eggert family. I pray that you would comfort them and help us as we prepare to serve them at the funeral this Thursday. May your will be done. And I pray for all the pastors in our region, Lord, this town and the other towns close and our region. I just pray that you would use us to bring you glory and to instruct from your word and help people know you and your word just a little clearer. And so guide us this morning as we have come to worship you. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. If you have been with us at all lately, you know that we're in another series. This one's called Urgent Times. And so far in our Urgent Times journey, we've discussed, first of all, that we saw that Jesus said, the harvest fields are ripe. Pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers. That's a reminder to us, the church, to pray and be used of God in the harvest. Times are urgent. Time's running out. In our second lesson, we saw that the Bible is still valid. It is to be trusted, even when many say it's no longer valid or no longer trustworthy. Last week, we saw the possibility that God may be sending signs. We call them natural disasters or unnatural, but he may be sending signs for us to wake up and to repent and come back to him. We have seen these in our Urgent Times lesson so far. Today, if you have looked in your bulletin, you have seen that we're in Urgent Times number 4, and I call this one Hypocrites Leading. Now, when I say that, I'm pointing the finger at myself as much as anybody else. I'm not talking about the possibility of hypocritical leaders in high government positions. I'm talking about the church. And so I'm going to invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 23. Jesus addressed the church leaders there. And I feel that perhaps if he were amongst us today, he would use the same verbiage, the same address to address church leaders again today. While you're turning there, let me tell you that this spring, Sherry and I went to McPherson, Kansas. And in McPherson, we were having pastors' meetings, and our bishops were there. And we had several speakers, including all three of our bishops and a couple of others. And I don't even remember which speaker it was, but one of them took us back to 1947. And when I say it took us back, They had gleaned this information out of Time magazine. Time magazine said in 1947 there was five things that troubled teachers and students, and I didn't have my pencil and paper ready and wasn't able to take notes quick enough. He was talking too fast. But in 1947, I got the gist of it when he said things that troubled teachers and students were waste paper on the floor and talking in class. Okay, can you get a visual? That's fairly innocent. Time magazine said in 1997, I had my pencil and paper ready now, so I got four of the five. Time magazine said in 1997, some of the worst things that teachers and kids are facing now are suicide and rape and drugs and teenage pregnancies. And I missed the fifth one, but that's four. So you see the swing in the pendulum. And I've been thinking about that off and on this summer. And I thought that that would fit today in today's urgent times. And you say, so what does Time magazine's got to do with anything? I give you that little snapshot, and may I suggest to you that something has changed. Waste paper on the floor to suicide. Something has changed. Somewhere along the line, may I suggest to you that we have failed. Yes, perhaps in the government. Yes, perhaps in the church. Yes, perhaps in our homes. Yes, perhaps as individuals. But somewhere along the line, we have failed. Things have changed. We have failed. I believe in the church we have failed to live for Christ and heed His Word the way He calls us to. I believe that we have failed to pass on His truths. I believe that because God hasn't changed. Okay, you with me? God, from 1947 to 1997 to 2017, hasn't changed. His Word has not changed. We talked about His Word last night, and some people are trying to change it, and some people do not subscribe to it, and some people say it's out of date and irrelevant. But believe it or not, His Word has not changed. His love for people has not changed. His directives in His Word has not changed. His willingness to forgive us of our sin, to save us from our sin, and to lead us, none of that has changed. I say, hallelujah! But something about us has. Something about us has had to have changed for us to see this moral decline in America and the world. And so I suggest today, may I humbly suggest that perhaps the leadership in the church has something to do with this change. You say, Jim, what do you mean? Well, first of all, let me say this. I know this is not going to be popular. I'm a church leader too, and so I'm pointing the finger to me and church leaders across our great land and perhaps even around the world, but something has changed within the church for us to see the pendulum swing the way it was in 1947 to 1997. You say, well, that's the government's fault. And I suggest to us, where is the church? Somewhere along the line, I fear that we in the organized church have failed, not everybody, but often and broadly across America and perhaps the world, but we have failed to proclaim the rich truths of God's Word with an expectation that people would actually obey the Word of God. Are you hearing me this morning? If we don't have an expectation, if I, the shepherd of this congregation, or your last one, or your next one, or the next pastor, or the next priest, or the next church leader, does not proclaim the richness and the truths of the Word of God with an expectation that people will follow it, we have failed you. Because Jesus said to His followers, come follow Me. He didn't say follow the world anymore. And if we have not portrayed that, if we have not conveyed that, if we have not made that crystal clear to people, God loves you. He calls us to repent of sin, believe in Him, and receive Him by faith, and follow me, He said. It's time to no longer follow the world. And if we have not conveyed that message, we have failed you. Somewhere along the line, we have just become religious in church and no longer righteous. Somewhere, somehow, yes, even in the church, we have become compromising in our faith and complacent, and we are no longer surrendered to the Lord and to His Word. Somewhere along the line, we have turned our worship of the Heavenly Father to ourselves. We worship at the altar of self, and that is idolatry. Tragically, way too much of the time, there's no emphasis on holiness. After all, His Word calls us to be holy people. And somewhere along the line, there's no longer any emphasis or not enough emphasis on holiness because we're too worried about political correctness or our rights or our feelings when God has called us to be holy people. And if we in church leadership over the last, this would be 60 years going back to 1947 when I give you these Time magazine, if we, or even 160 before that, if we in church leadership have not conveyed to would-be followers of Christ that He expects us to be holy, we have failed you. Because God's Word hasn't changed, and it says, be holy as I am holy. And so somewhere along the line, we've turned our worship of our Heavenly Father inwardly to ourselves, and we're more perhaps worried about our titles and our reputation and our image and in our pride and everything else than worshiping the Heavenly Father. And so I am suggesting today that we, and I continue to say we because I am in church leadership too, have not instructed in the ways of Jesus, but perhaps way too often in the ways of man. Did you know that Jesus addressed this very issue in His day? That's why I've asked you to turn to Matthew 23. I did ask you to turn to Matthew 23, didn't I? Yeah, I thought I did. That's why I've asked you to turn to Matthew 23, because Jesus addressed this these very issues. He addressed it then, and I believe it needs to be addressed right now. And I'm not saying I'm qualified to address any other church leaders except for myself. But we in the church need to address the worldly ways in which the church has gone. And I propose that we repent in the church and we surrender and we humble ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit rather than the postmodern thinking and political correctness that we seem to be demanded of in 2017. Now let me say this before I read Matthew 23. Just because the government has legalized sin doesn't mean it's right. Are you hearing me? We have done it over and over and over. I don't need to give you the long laundry list, but just because we have doesn't mean it's right. God's Word hasn't changed. God's expectation for people hasn't changed. The blood that we sang about, it's next to the last song, that ran red on the cross to wash up our sin. And we all have had sin in our lives. We all have our BC, before Christ years. Until we've been born again, we're still on that side of the cross. The blood is still available to wash us white as snow. I say hallelujah. God hasn't changed. Just because we have changed doesn't mean He did. In Matthew 23, He addresses the religious leaders. They were called in their day priests, high priests, scribes, Pharisees. Those were all religious leaders. And I don't have time to read it all. I'm going to read some of it from Matthew 23. But if you've never read that, I would encourage you to read the nine woes from Matthew 23 when Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat." That's their church leaders of the day. In other words, they're telling you what to do from the law of Moses. "Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do it." In other words, if they are proclaiming to you the truths from Scripture, if they are proclaiming to you the truths from the Mosaic law, then Jesus said, listen to that and do that. And then he says immediately after, "But do not do according to their works. For they say, and they do not do." You see what he's saying? Too often times they will tell you one thing, they won't do it themselves. They might talk the talk, but they ain't walking the walk. And so Jesus said, when they're proclaiming to you the truth from Scripture, from the Mosaic law, do that, but don't do what they do. Because he said they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Verse 5, the religious leaders. "But all of their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places of feasts, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men rabbi." They liked the pat on the back. They like to be noticed by men. They like to be seen. They like to be acknowledged. And Jesus said, all their work they do simply not to bring God glory, but to get a pat on the back. And if that's what we're in it for, as church leaders, not only have we failed you, we're failing God. You see, somewhere along the line, those church leaders of that day, and perhaps even some today, have been so caught up in themselves that they actually think ministry and heaven and everything else is about them. We've forgotten sometimes in church leadership, it isn't about us. It isn't about us at all. It's about Jesus. 13, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you, church leaders," he's saying, "of the time, you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you're not going in yourself, and nor are you allowing those who are entering to go in." In other words, not only were the religious leaders of that day not going into the kingdom, they were not putting their faith in Christ. All they were doing was keeping a checklist of legalism. Not only were they not going into the kingdom by faith in Christ themselves, they were preventing others from going too. That's why he said, you're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. 15. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one convert or proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves." That's pretty strong language. And what he's saying is, you Pharisees of that day, and perhaps church leaders today, if you're traveling here and traveling there and doing this and doing that to get a member or someone to join up, you're missing the whole boat. And if you tell them they need to do this, that, and the other thing to be a member, you're making it harder for them to come into the kingdom by faith than they would have been if you wouldn't have said anything about that. That's why he said this very strong language when he said to them, you travel over land, you travel over sea to win a single convert, a single proselyte. They were trying to, as it were, recruit and graft in Gentiles into Judaism. That's what he's talking about. They had to go through this long litany of stuff, and maybe they could finally arrive. But in doing all of that, he said, you're making it way harder for them to come into the true kingdom of God. And we've been guilty of that in the 20th and 21st century in the church. Then he said in verse 25, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, that the outside of them may be clean too. I think you know he's not talking about your coffee cup. He's talking about our hearts. He's talking about us as a person, as an individual. You see, you can't put on a clean shirt and still and be clean on the inside. That's what they were trying to portray. I've got the priestly garment on. I've got the turban. I've got the sash. I've put on the phylacteries. That's the scripture holders that they held on their forehead, on their arm. And you can see me. You can see I'm all holy. And you can see me about what I'm all about. But their heart was far from God. And that's why he's addressing, he said, you take great measures to wash and scrub up the outside of the cup. In other words, to put on the look. But your heart is far from me. That's why he said you got to start by washing the inside of the heart. The inside of the cup, which is the heart. You see, friends, self-help isn't going to help until we go to the helper, which is Jesus. We can scrub all day long on the outside of the cup, but until we go to the healer and to the helper, to the author and finisher of life, to Jesus, we're still just washing the outside of the cup. He said, you've got to start with the inside of the cup. And the Pharisees were not doing that. He went even further in verse 27 when he said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are still just like whitewashed tombs. We could get the analogy. We could get the picture. Take some whitewash. Clean up the tomb a little bit. Make it sparkly. Make it pretty. On the outside, it looks good. He said, you're just like that, church leaders, Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites. For you are like a whitewashed tomb, which indeed all beautiful outwardly, but on the inside of that tomb, it's still dead men's bones. It's still full of uncleanness. Even so, you outwardly, he said, appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. I share these scripture verses with us today, friends, because something has changed. And it's not Jesus. It's not the Word of God. It's not God the Father. It's not His Spirit. To follow Jesus is not putting on a clean shirt. To follow Jesus is not putting on the priestly garment. To follow Jesus, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, is a heart issue. You must be born again. It is a spiritual matter. We can scrub the dirt off, we can put on a clean shirt, but if we've never addressed the heart, we're just the same as the Pharisees. We're just the same as the scribes and the Pharisees that Jesus called hypocrites. And so I implore us today in the church, this church, but the church, to not fall into the trap of Phariseeism, which is talking the talk, but not walking the walk. I ask us and I implore us not to succumb to the trap of being nothing more than what the Pharisees of that day were. They were phonies. They had the people fooled, at least some of them. But Jesus assured them, He knew their heart. God knows our heart. And He went so far as to say, you're leading the people away from God by your own ways. And so I want to encourage us as a church, whether you ever become a pastor, missionary, or leader, or not, I want to encourage us as a church, we have an obligation to proclaim and pass along and teach the truth of Jesus. We do. We are the church. We have an obligation to pass that along. We have an obligation, per the Word of God, to train up folks and our kids and our communities to be Christ-like and to be holy when we have been born again. You cannot clean the outside until you have addressed the heart. We in the church have an obligation to tell people the good news is Jesus. He doesn't look at our past. If we will come to Him in humble surrender and repentance and say, I need You, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. He doesn't hold the past against us. We have an obligation, though, to tell people they must come to Christ by faith, repenting of sin, believing on Him, and receiving Him by faith. Jesus is the one that told the religious leaders, unless you're born again, you're never going to see the kingdom of heaven. You're never going to enter in the kingdom of God. Jesus said that. And we, the church, have an obligation to help people understand. Once we have been born again, we are to walk as Jesus walked. We are to be holy people. And so I say, I fear that too often times we in the church are failing God miserably when we do not instruct on the whole counsel of God. And I humbly suggest that we have seen the pendulum change from 1947, when trash on the floor was a serious matter, to suicide and rape and drugs in 1997. I humbly suggest to us that that pendulum has swung because we in the church have not done what God has called us to do. Yes, people are trying. But as a nation and as a church, we are failing God miserably when we do not instruct on the whole counsel of God. And we can only instruct on the whole counsel of God, brothers and sisters, from the Word of God. That's where we're going to draw our truth from. Being religious is not what God is asking for. Being righteous, being holy, being humble, being surrendered, being followers of Christ by faith in Christ is what He calls us to. And so may I encourage us as a church, may we commit to allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us as people, as couples, as families, as a church, as a community. May I humbly ask us to allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and not society's pressures and popular consensus and even politically correct. And may I suggest to us as a church body that we spend enough time in the Word of God to know what it says. If we're not spending any time in the Word of God, how can we know what God is saying to us? If we're not spending any time in prayer, alone time with the Father, how can we know what He's saying to us? And so I simply suggest to us today, friends, as a church, we too have a responsibility in where we are at in the 21st century. And until the church wake up, repent, and come back to Christ, how can we expect anybody else to? We're going to sing a song that was very popular for a long time. It's on page 262 in your songbooks. It's called Holy. It's called Being Holy. But holy doesn't seem to be popular anymore. And so we're going to stand and we're going to sing, Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord God Almighty, and that's what He calls His church to be. And so while we're singing this song, friends, if you're not quite where you need to be with God, cry out to Him in humble, repentant surrender today and invite Christ to be Lord of your life. If you don't know how to do that, I'll help you with it. And church family, we need to draw near to God and allow Him to draw near to us. And pray for our nation and pray for our churches that we see a turning to Him instead of this flagrant turning away from Him. We shall close in prayer. Father, thank You again for Your holiness. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for Your goodness. Thank You for Your unchanging nature. Thank You that You are still willing, by Your grace and our faith, to receive us into Your family. But we must come to You in faith, surrendering ourselves and coming to Jesus Christ by faith. As a church, I pray for direction. I pray that You would help the church. That's not a denomination, that's followers of Christ, to be holy people. Forgive us when we haven't been. Forgive us when we have allowed popular consensus to form and to shape us into the image of the world, rather than Your Word to shape us in the image of God. Help us, O Lord, come to You by faith and be born again. Help us in the church, O Lord, to be Spirit-led and to be holy and to be set apart, not because we're better than anybody else, but because we have been born again. Guide us by Your Spirit, Father. Guide our nation, we ask and pray. Guide our leaders from the very top to the very local and everywhere in between. Guide our churches, our church leaders, Father. Use the church to bring You glory instead of what Jesus told the church leaders of that day. Forgive us and help us, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.